The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I'm delighted that Vera Toomey is joining us. She has published the story of how she has looked after her daughter's epilepsy, the book For Ava. Vera, thank you very much for joining us here on the programme today. Now, I'd say there's many people listening who know about Ava and about your campaign to be able to get medicinal cannabis to actually help treat her. But just for those who aren't familiar, tell us about the syndrome that Ava was born with.
Ava was born, Matt, and hi, how are you doing?
Delighted to see you here.
Delighted to be here. Ava was born just like any other little girl. Up until she was about 4 months old, she was feeding, you know, nappy changing, sleeping, etc., the normal things. But after at around the age of 4 months, after one visit in to see the doctor, we returned home, and that night she started having her first seizure.
This is an epileptic seizure.
And
you must have gotten an enormous fright when that happened, didn't you?
I got an enormous fright, but like it was, I suppose I wasn't aware that a seizure could continue so violently for so long, and it was frightening. But then the fear started to escalate dramatically because it wasn't stopping, and we called the ambulance, and by the time the ambulance came it hadn't stopped, and it went on and on, and it was clear that it was epilepsy. You know, I mean, a lot of parents would maybe know what I mean when you'd go in and your child might have a febrile convulsion where a high temperature would cause a seizure, but that could be a one-off. But to get a diagnosis of epilepsy, you actually need to have, I think it's either 3 or 4 seizures, the consultants would say to you. But for us anyway, it was really clear that there was something seriously wrong here, because this was very dramatic. And it went from there, and we met consultants, they did blood tests, they sent the blood tests out of the country. And as soon as I heard that, the blood test was going to be sent to Glasgow, I knew that we were in trouble, because I said they wouldn't be sending it out of the country unless it was something rare or something unusual. And then several weeks later, we got the diagnosis of Dravet syndrome, and that is, it used to be called severe myoclonic epilepsy in infancy. Isolated in about 1978 or 79 by Charlotte Dravet, French lady. And she, I suppose, there's a spectrum with Dravets. You can be at either end of the spectrum, but the prognosis delivered to us by our consultant was extremely grim. She told us that Ava would never walk, she would never talk, she would be in a wheelchair, and that she would, that we realistically needed to look into residential care for our daughter, even at that point as a young baby. And like, as you can imagine, that was horrific. But
I think it's hard to imagine what it must be like to actually go through that. I think anyone who has children would be fearful of something like that, but I don't think most people could actually imagine what it must be like to be told something like that.
I wouldn't want to wish it on you. I wouldn't want to wish it on even the most heartless person that didn't help Ava when we needed help for her. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Because, and again, it's like many other parents have said to me that they received similar deliveries. Like, we were also told that Ava's mortality rate was around 3 years of age, and that she probably wouldn't live beyond the age of 3, which is a depressing and dreadful thing to say to a parent, especially a first-time parent like we were at the time. And many parents have got delivery of diagnoses, you know, similarly severe as that, but yet through love and determination and, you know, just hard graft with their kids, have brought them on and, you know, helped them to make the best life that they possibly can. And that's all you want, for any of us want for our kids.
How regularly did Ava have these epileptic fits as she grew?
Their seizures. Yeah.
Sorry.
Every day. I was going to say every other day, but no, essentially every day. There would be there would be like huge clusters of myoclonic seizures, absent seizures, drop seizures. The drop seizures are quite dangerous.
Are these are different types of seizures?
They're all different types of seizures, yeah. You know, when you see the stereotypical, let's call it, seizure that a person has on the TV or somewhere where they fall to the ground, excuse me, and they their limbs stiffen and they shake, that's a tonic-clonic seizure. Also used to be known long ago as a grand mal seizure. And those seizures, Ava could have 10, 12 of them in a day.
And what do you do when that happens as a parent? How do you help her?
Well, just to say, because you said about the other types of seizures, you could have 40 or 50 absences in a day. You could have the myoclonic jerks, or like when the arm just jerks involuntarily itself. That's a form of a seizure. A drop seizure is when the legs go from under you, like, you know, that they just weaken and you can collapse. So, like, if that happens, a person with, you know, poor balance, or any person, could hurt themselves quite badly by hitting their head off something. So what do you do? Well, in the instance of the absences, they could be, you know, somewhat tolerated or controlled without buccal midazolam or epistatis, which would have been the rescue medication. But with a tonic-clonic, you need to act immediately. You need to go, like, you need to get to business. And you would go, get your buccal midazolam, put it in the child's mouth, rub it into the gum. You know, the buccal would be referring, I think, to the Latin of the gum, I think. Then you hope that it will stop. Now, you also have to wait for 5 minutes before you administer buccal midazolam, which means that you have to watch your child seize for a number of minutes, which I always thought was crazy. And then if that dose of rescue medication wouldn't work, you would administer a second dose of medication. But if you administer a second dose of medication, then, Matt, you've got to call an ambulance because the child could stop breathing.
It's horrific. And do you actually have to keep her monitor her 24 hours a day in a situation like this?
Oh, yeah. She'd never be more than 5 feet away from me. Like, yeah. Yeah.
So presumably, you mean you had to have help at home with this, did you? Because otherwise you'd never have slept, would you?
But sure, we don't really. We don't really sleep. Like, we have, you know, she has her own room or something. And usually I end up sleeping with her every night. But I have a monitor. So I have a monitor on her, like one of those video monitors that you'd have for a baby.
Yeah.
We still have that because even though her seizures are controlled now with the medical cannabis, I kind of personally, just myself, I kind of still need the reassurance that, you know, my eyes are on her just in case she needs me. Yeah.
What age is Ava though?
She's 9.5.
Which is fantastic given the prognosis you were given,
sure,
isn't it?
It sure is, yeah. Yeah.
Let's jump forward, because you became to public attention because of your campaign to get medicinal cannabis made available for her. Where did you come across the information that it could actually work in a way that conventional medicines weren't actually helping her?
Well, like, this is the thing. This is a lot of the reason why I wrote the book, for this very reason. Because when we went through like 10 or 11 different forms of pharmaceutical medication for Ava, and of course they all eventually failed to control her seizures, you know.
Sorry, did any of them work for a while?
Oh, they did. I said eventually, didn't I?
Yeah.
Like that with Dravet's is very severe, and like there would be some of the medications, I would say maybe at least half of the medications that had no effect. But some of the medications may have had a temporary easing of the seizures, but what they replaced you with was severe side effects.
Such as?
Oh, like at one stage in her life, we had to have a bib on her all day long because she would be drooling from the mouth continuously and the bib would be saturated. So you couldn't have that going into her chest, you know, so you'd be changing the bib the whole time. There was another one. And she just sat in the chair and just with her head kind of lolling to the side, and she was comatose. Other kind of, you know, not so visible, excuse me, side effects would be, you know, suicidal thoughts, the balance, issues with balance, problems with your stomach, problems with peripheral vision and blindness. One of the medications we saw after affected the child's speech. So we had worked really, really hard to develop Ava's speech and encourage her as much as we could every day, morning, noon and night, really. And she went on this medication, and the words that we'd kind of garnered with her, she lost them. And we didn't know that at the time, you know. We didn't know. We took the medication that was given to us for Ava because it was given by the consultant.
And you took it in good faith.
Exactly. We took it in good faith. And I learned further down along the line to be more proactive regarding research, to research the medications, because we weren't being told about the side effects. And I mean, like, for example, when she was lolling on the sofa with drooling and the bib on her, that wasn't good for her either, you know.
Tell us about the medicinal cannabis. How does it work? I mean, how do you administer it, and what benefits is Ava getting from it?
Oh, like, you know, the administration of it is, you know, where we found out about it first was from Israel, Holland, the UK, the Dravet syndrome UK parents driving me on to America and Canada, and seeing testimonials, you know, online about people like that. The administration of it is quite straightforward. It's a small syringe. It's a small bottle. I wish I had it here actually to show you. I should have brought it with me, but I didn't think of that this morning. But it's a small bottle. The CBD is drawn out of the bottle. It's brown in colour, and she's given her morning and nighttime dose, and the THC is in a separate bottle, and the THC is, like, if you could imagine, just that tiny amount in the syringe, in a 1 ml syringe, just that tiny
amount.
Twice a day. Side effects, no psych. There's no psychoactive effect to Ava. But the side effects are better appetite, better balance, better sleep, better interaction with her brother and her two sisters.
Speech.
Speech is coming, but speech had been severely hampered by the seizures. But what Ava does, and she's like, she's become a really independent little woman. Like, she's very determined, you know, which is great to see. And she'd give out to me, like, if she loves driving in the car, and if you're, you know, she's always wanting to go in the car. So she'd give out to me when she's not, brought for a trip, which isn't very often anyway. But, wonderful. Just going to school, everything.
She is going to local primary school.
No, she wouldn't be able now for the local primary school. Okay. But she's in a special, she's in a unit attached to the primary school inside in Macroom.
Excellent.
And they're awesome, and they're absolutely brilliant. Yeah, yeah, she loves it.
But to get this far, you had one hell of a fight to get the government to agree to the legitimacy and to allow the legality of the use of medical cannabis. You're very critical of Simon Harris in relation to this, that is sort of the PR about having meetings with you and saying he's going to help.
Oh, shocking.
But taking a long time to do so.
Shocking, yeah. You'd be appalled too if it was your child.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I don't know anybody else ever that had to do so much so publicly and spend so much time, you know, on this issue. It's so straightforward. The proof is there. The medical evidence is out there. There are doctors in other parts of the world that if it was for another condition or another subject, their opinion would be taken on board and considered, but not for this. And it's very, very cruel and very disappointing of Simon for the way he conducted himself and allowed the people that surrounded him to control what was going on. I never really got to know Simon very much, you know, but I do know that he didn't take the decisions that he should have done. The facts were presented to him very clearly over and over again.
I'm not going to go any further now because I want to let people read the story in the book. The book is called For Ava. But just to finish out though, how confident are you now that this medication will continue to provide the relief for Ava?
Well, the thing is, I'll put it to you this way. Ava used to spend 4 to 5 months of every year inside in hospital, right? The ambulance was out to us every week, literally. When the ambulance came down, you know where we are down from Dunamore, you know, yep, where the area is. They'd be coming from Macroom, they'd be coming from Cork, they'd be coming from Middleton, wherever they were coming from. We'd one came from Kilkenny one night, which wasn't much use to us, but that happened. But like now, we have not been in hospital, please God. It'll be next October, it'll be 3 years since Ava's been admitted to hospital in an emergency. So
that's transformative, isn't it? For her life, for your life as well.
Sure. It's just night and day. And she's doing so well. And there's no reason why that can't continue. But, you know, if there is a break back in the seizures again, I have come to know people, you know, magnificent people like Professor Michael Barnes and people in Spain and people in Israel that I can refer to that can help us. But Dravet's is what it is, you know. So if we must regroup and fight again for her, that's what we will do. But we know that
I have
it works.
No doubt that you will. No doubt whatsoever. Vera Toomey, it's been great meeting you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt,
for joining us on the programme. And the book is For Ava.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.